Hi, and welcome to Stories of Climate Change Hope, the podcast that brings you a little bit of hope every other week. My name is Steffen Schwartmann, and today we listen to the story of Nele Wolfram. She studied international relations in her bachelor's at the Technical University of Dresden, and now she just started her master's degree in peace and conflict transformation in Innsbruck. She's also very engaged in activating civil society throughout different projects. One of them is a one week long program for young adults called Impulse Boost Camp, or short IBC. For IBC, she's a co-founder and project manager, and Nele has been active in civil society since the age of 16. Wow. Hi, Nele. How are you doing?
Hi, Steffen. I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
It's so great to finally have you here. Yeah, so cool that you're here. So let's talk about Impulse Boost Camp. It's like one of your projects. How would you describe IBC in your own words? Like, what does Impulse Boost Camp stand for you?
Yeah, so Impulse Boost Camp is a training program for young people that are active in civil society, in their communities. So we get together for 9 days, 20 young social change makers from all over Europe and neighboring countries. And we learn together, we grow together, we share our knowledge, our best practices. We get to know tools and methods that make activism more fun, more joyful, but also more effective.
Wow, cool. So you invite young people and they change their ideas, come together. And okay, like if I wanted to apply for this program, are there any requirements? Like, is it even okay if I don't have experience in civil society engagement or project work? What are the requirements?
And so Impulse Boost Camp addresses young people that are already active in civil society. And the idea behind us is that we want to make this training program, this learning program, most effective. So the methods and the knowledge that we pass on, they should be implemented and passed on, they should be used. And so this is why we invite people who work as replicators in their society, who can inspire young people, who can share whatever they take with them from our program. Impulse Boost Camp is more directed to people that have already project experience and that work with a team, ideally. Yes, so it would be better if you are an activist already to participate.
Yeah, and I'm really amazed. You just told me before we started recording that you had been active in civil society since the age of 16. That's very impressive. Because I, for example, I just started very late, like after I was 20 and started my bachelor's, that I got more interested and engaged. And I was wondering, like the time in your engagement, did it influence you in developing this specific project? Or did someone approach you and ask you, hey, wouldn't you like to develop this project? Like how did it develop? How did it come that you were the founder of Impulse Boost Camp?
Yes. So I am from Plauen. This is the town where I was born in and grew up in. And it's a smaller town in East Germany in Saxony. And this town has already had before 2015 many issues with right-wing extremism, with neo-Nazis that took a lot of space in society. And yes, I could not understand their values, and I wanted to stand up against this mindset that they proclaimed in our town and region. So yeah, I was active in civil society myself. I was the vice president of the youth parliament, later became a city council member of the town, and yeah, I was a little bit known in the region for my activism. And a colleague of one of my projects against the NSU terror cell in Zwickau, he approached me and invited me to the project that was in place before IBC was established. And so in 2013, when I was just 17, 18 years old, I was a participant of this project. Back then it was called Fit for the Future, and it was more like a European cultural exchange, because there were a lot of other young people from Europe. And yeah, in my region, young women that are politically active are quite rare. So the foundation asked me to become an intern. And next year, in the following year, I accompanied the project as an intern, but also as a youth trainer, where I learned how to host seminars, how to be a facilitator for such a learning course. And yeah, my engagement with this foundation continued. And after some years, my former colleague and I, we asked ourselves, okay, what can we do with this program to make it even more effective, to reach more young people? And then we changed the format from a European exchange program to a leadership training for activists. And then in 2016, Impulse Boost Camp was founded. Yes, that's the story.
So, you have very touched upon very different topics in your engagement. What I really like about Impulse Boost Camp, and why I also wanted to invite you to the podcast, is that it's very open. So, like you said, it's a leadership training, and it's not like, okay, it started to fight against racism in the community, but now it's really huge. Like, anyone who is engaged can apply. So it doesn't matter if you are developing a project on feminism or anti-racism or climate change. It's basically covering all kinds of different issues. So that's what I really liked about it. Yeah, so I can say that I was also a participant of your program, of Impulse Boost Camp, this year. And I also wanted to tell you that it had a really huge impact on me as a participant, and I was super glad that I could join. Because besides the things that you mentioned, the different methods and exchange of engaged, young, motivated people that inspire each other, it's also about, for me, about a really special atmosphere. And like the listeners can imagine, our seminar room, in the morning we would sit in a circle, and in the middle there was a bouquet of flowers, and there were some small books that we used as a diary, where we could express our experiences for ourselves. And every morning we got together, and we would basically come together as one small tiny community. Although we were just like there for 1 week, it really felt like a family for me. That was really unique, and I'm very glad to make this experience. So I think it's really about giving people this experience also of belonging. I think that most people who participated this year felt similar. So I think that it's not just the methods that and all the different speakers that you invite, it's also a lot about the atmosphere. And when you thought about IBC in the beginning, did you think it would have had such an impact?
Yeah, that's a good question. I didn't get the last question. So you described, you said impact, right? Did I imagine it would have such a big impact?
Yeah, like on an emotional level.
Okay.
Like not just that we get to know new methods and how we build our team or share best practices or peer consulting, but also on an emotional level, this feeling of belonging that I think many people would really need in order to also become better activists, because somehow at least you have to feel this way once so you can, in my opinion, to build this kind of community feeling.
Yes. Yes. So this is actually a big part of the concept of Impulse Boost Camp, the entire learning atmosphere. This is really, really important for us. We as educators think that, yes, learning often happens outside the comfort zone. But when you work with people and when you want to also grow mentally and personally, we want to actually create a learning space where people feel most comfortable. Because we think if learning is possible inside the comfort zone, then let's create this comfort zone as cozy as possible. And for learning to take place on a deeper level, it will happen holistically with positive emotions, with the body involved. Not only do we just share on knowledge and hard facts, and this is the method that you have to implement at this point of your project. No, it's like the entire atmosphere that we and the spirit of collaboration and work that we would like to pass on, because most of our participants, they work within teams in their projects and in their activism, and we think that collaboration also in activist circles should be joyful, it should be fun. And yeah, this is actually a learning also from my own activism, that especially when people are there because they want to do something meaningful in their free time, they don't get paid, then they should at least get something back on an emotional level and feel comfortable and connect with other people on an eye level. Yes, so this is what we try to pass on in Impulse Boost Camp. And another idea for this concept is also that, among activists, there is often some sort of competition, like who does the most work, who does the hardest work, who is closest to a burnout to get credit from their group. And activists also deal often with really hard topics such as anti-feminism or the climate catastrophe or right-wing extremism, racism. Like, it's also really, really hard on an emotional level to be active in civil society, sometimes even life-threatening. And with Impulse Boost Camp, we want to give something back, like this atmosphere, this coziness. Like maybe it can be even something like a retreat to just recharge with a lot of positive energy and to carry this energy back into their teams and work and projects. Yes, so IBC would not work without an emotional involvement of the participants. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I completely agree that like joy and having fun in your activism is, yeah, it's so important. Otherwise, it feels like something that you have to do, but maybe not something that you want to do. And yeah, you call it a retreat. And that is like so amazing. Like you have this program that at one hand really enriches young activists and helps them develop into a better leader. And at the same time, while kind of going through all these things, and it's also work at IBC, but at the same time, people feel like it's a retreat. And I'm really curious, like, how you were able to do this. Like, if it was just your experience that, okay, like, now you are able to, by the things you say and you do, that people feel more relaxed or feel more loved? Or is it something that you read? Like, what helped you to build this kind of atmosphere and build this kind of community at IBC every year?
Yes. So our teaching style, or our hosting style, more to say, is kind of a teaching philosophy that is rooted in the art of hosting community. So art of hosting is a style to guide groups, to moderate group processes. And we use a lot of methods from art of hosting. But one of the concepts is also this special, warm, loving learning atmosphere. So we just try to implement some of their tools using, for instance, also Open Space or World Cafe, also very participatory workshops and methods, but also do small things like having a centerpiece, a flower bouquet and some candles and a learning journal. And so each morning, you already mentioned this, I'm reading little stories, some words to all of us to get inspiration. I think my colleagues, my team and I, we just go through the world. We go through different seminars and projects like this with our eyes open, and we try to remember all the small things that create this loving atmosphere, this community, and then just implement it. And I also choose my team based on this. So I knew before I invited them to join me in facilitating Impulse Bootcamp, Nico and Sophie, that they have an eye for something like this. So we meet as a team one day before the participants arrive, and we just spend hours and hours setting up the seminar room. So we take out all the chairs and tables, and I brought my own carpet, I brought my own lamp, we bought flowers, we design handwritten the learning journals. We spend a lot of time on writing the posters, for instance, a welcome poster with all the names of the participants. Yeah, or have little signs on the door of the sleeping rooms, of the bedrooms, to know where people are. And yeah, we just spend a lot of time and energy into this atmosphere. But yeah, it's really worth it. And maybe it's another thing is also my own perspective and my own experiences of activism, because being engaged in work against right-wing extremism in Saxony was really, really hard work. And I received death threats myself. I worked in different organizations to create protests against the neo-Nazis. And there was a lot of competition between those groups. And a few years later, I also got a burnout myself because I did work, studies, and activism, and this was all too much. So I know myself how hard activism can be, and I want IBC to be different from those bad experiences that I had. Yeah, just to give something back to those people who spend so much of their energy and free time and money to the bettering of the world and for their communities. Yeah, so I also just want to say thank you to them with this atmosphere and this entire project.
Yeah, wow. You just mentioned a few very different things, so I just wanted to say that it's really worth it if some of the listeners is planning like a workshop or a get together for your own project or your team. I can really recommend applying some of those methods that Nela just mentioned, or also looking up what the art of hosting is about, because I can just say from my own perspective that I felt really loved at IBC and I felt special. And I think that everyone should be able to feel like this and should have the chance to make this experience. And yeah, and then you also mentioned, you received death threats. I think then probably you were still very young at that time. I mean, we are both still comparably young, but you had a burnout. So do you think now you are better capable of going through so much stress? Or is there something that helps you to deal with these really difficult issues, or like a practice that you know that helps you?
Yes, now I definitely know my own limits, my own boundaries better, and I can understand my body better when it gives me signals that, okay, you're reaching your energy capacities here or your time capacity. So I just learned how to listen to my body better. And this is also what we do in IBC, actually. At the end of the program, we have one workshop on body and mindfulness to check in with our bodies and also to learn how to interpret those signals and become aware of them. So when you can do this, then you also know how to better protect yourself. Like now when I work a lot, I know, maybe tomorrow I need some more free time for myself. And I have a new hobby since I moved to Leipzig, where I'm currently based.
What is it?
It's roller skating. Also, yeah, checking in with my own body, doing sports outside, listening to music, like something like this really gives me balance. And what also helped me is Impulse Bootcamp itself, because just listening to your words here right now, Steffen, brings tears into my eyes and makes me feel really, really blessed with the work that I'm doing. And I get so much back from you, from the participants. I'm still in touch with a lot of them from all over the years. And I also started new collaborations, and I see how new projects evolve out of Impulse Bootcamp, new collaborations. And this makes me so, so happy and gives me so much joy that I just take a lot of energy from that feedback, from all your smiles, from your warm words in the checkout circle.
For the listeners who don't know, the checkout circle was, do you mean the one at every evening or at the end of IBC, the end of the boost camp?
Yes, I thought about the end of Impulse Bootcamp, where we just do a sharing circle What do you take with you? What do you want to share now at the end of this program? So at the very last moment where we get together in a circle at Impulse Boost Camp.
Yeah, that was very special. I agree. I felt really touched by everyone. And I'm also still in contact with some of the people that joined this year with me. And yeah, I have some of the best and deepest conversations like still going on. So yeah, there's a lot that I could take from IPC. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so what I learned also now is that IBC, I think, gives you a lot of hope by the feedback, by the participants, and also by what you see, how we react. And is there something else that gives you hope, maybe?
Yeah, what gives me hope, and this was really a key word of Impulse Boost Camp this year in 2020, to hear about all the projects that the participants and alumni of IBC are doing, and to see their motivation. And what I also observed is that many of the people in this bubble really live integrally to their values. So they don't only fight for their cause, whatever cause it may be, their values in their project, they're also living it in their everyday conversations and how they consume things, how they buy products, and yeah, how they communicate. So to see this integrity really, really gives me hope. And just all the projects and this enthusiasm, yeah, of the participants and also the applicants of Impulse Boost Camp, that gives me hope.
We have already mentioned it a couple of times that at IBC there's this kind of sense of togetherness and everyone is cooperating and respecting, taking care of each other. And I'm jumping back a little bit now, because there's one thing that you mentioned that I found really interesting. You mentioned that there's this kind of competition of activists or volunteers, people who are engaged, who most have unpaid positions. They just do it because they think it's the right thing to do and they're really motivated. So why do you think there is this competition between volunteers? Like, where does it come from?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So our activism is still embedded in our political and economical system. And maybe that's not the motivation, but it kind of sometimes comes with activism and engagement. Also, jobs are created out of activism, like people stick out of the crowd, and then they get hired by partners and other organizations. So I think we kind of have to see the bigger picture here. Like, we're living in a neoliberal capitalist economic system that works through competition. Like, that's the basic principle of our today's capitalism, right? And I think often we also fight this sort of capitalism in our activism, but it's still embedded somehow in the system, so we cannot leave it out of the picture. Maybe this has something to do with it. But what I also observed lately in kind of a left activist bubble is the level of awareness that we are really, really strict with each other concerning the vocabulary that we're using. And it's super important to be thoughtful and conscious about our language, because our language reflects values and and how our society is shaped and also reflects our ideals and can be hurtful to minority groups. So it's super important to be reflective about our language, but we also have to give space to each other to learn this kind of awareness and consciousness. And here is where I see a lot of activists struggle, that we became so strict with ourselves and with each other concerning language and awareness that people are super afraid to make mistakes. And yeah, in Impulse Boost Camp, we try to remind ourselves that we need each other to learn together. And this happens through making mistakes as well. But if we treat each other with respect, then we can all grow into a more conscious, more aware group and society. Yes. But those are just my individual thoughts. Maybe this would be a good topic for some more academic research. Why is there so much competition in activist groups? Good question. I will take that with me.
Yeah, I'm sure there is some academic research going on this question. Yeah, I wonder the same. And like when about the vocabulary and the terminology that some of us are very keen on, and like I think it's important to be aware of our perspective. So like I'm involved in a project that is more related to climate change and climate change adaptation. And yeah, of course, for me, there are so many vocabulary that are just very normal and I'm very used to it. And if I hear someone not understanding, maybe it's this kind of, I don't know, I would try to be calm and just explain what it means, but maybe it's a kind of defense mechanism inside of us that, you know, like starts and is basically like this is so important. How can someone not know this? Maybe we basically like justify ourselves by reacting with misunderstanding. Does that make sense? Do you know what I mean?
Yes, that makes sense.
So I would say, yeah, definitely be aware of your perspective. And if you're a feminist or anti-racist, then yeah. For example, I'm not so in these fields. And for me, I know there are a lot of vocabulary, a lot of words that I don't know. And it's not because I'm ignorant. It's just that I haven't dealt with it so much. So I think it's just natural, and it's impossible to know everything, but it's important that if you see that, okay, I need to learn this, then you say, okay, I will learn this. I will deal with this. And if something is important, we shouldn't be ignorant. All right, coming back to IBC for a second. I hope it's not difficult, but if you had only three words, how would you describe IBC? And if it's too difficult, I don't know, use five words. That's fine too.
Three words. Okay. Impulse Boost Camp. It's three words already.
That doesn't count.
Listen, grow, connect.
Thank you.
Maybe those three words. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or listen, grow, create.
Yeah, sounds good. So we are now basically at the end, almost at the end of the episode. Is there something that you would like to tell the listener, something that they need to remember from this episode or in general?
Okay, that's a really nice question. Yeah, so I would just would like that everybody who listens to this knows that you are an important part of society, and what you do and think and feel that matters. And nobody of us has the power to change the world, change all those crises that we're dealing with right now. But if we all do a little part, then we can really contribute to the change that we would like to see in this world. I really, really believe in this. And if you are already active in this way, I would like you not to feel alone. We are all in this together, and we are many. We really are many. And if you need to feel this and experience this and see this with your own senses, then apply for Impulse Boost Camp and take some of that atmosphere, loving and caring learning atmosphere with you. Yes.
Thank you so much. That is a really great wrap up. Okay, so we end this episode as always by saying that we want to commit ourselves to the healing of our world and our society. We want to bridge gaps and decrease the separation inside society and between us and our environment. We can do one part by leading conversations about climate change and talk about our personal story. We want to do so by acting responsibly and respectfully, even when it is challenging. We will support others in their part and ask for help when we need it. And we will spread a little bit of hope every other day. Thanks a lot for joining me today, Nele. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you, Stefan. The pleasure was all mine.
Thanks goes to Coco for the creative support and the logo design. And also thanks to Vulcan Recorder for the music contribution. You can listen to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and all other podcast distribution apps on your phone. The next episode will be released in 1 week or 2 weeks on a Sunday evening. Thank you for listening, and make sure to tune in next time. Bye-bye.